Welcome to the Innovative Missional Ministries podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner. In our last podcast, Reverend Dr. Todd Jones was joined by Pastor Ed Dorner discussing the mission at Messiah Midland to help the ALIS population. Now, the ALIS population is a segment of the population that's considered the working poor. Here's part two of their discussion on the ministry.
How does evangelism take place in the mission outreach? How does evangelism take place in the Elevate process?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in all of our ministries, I would say that there's really like twofold ministry happening. Mm-hmm. The first ministry is, do we really believe our theology? Let's start there. Do we believe that I have Christ in me? If you come in and let's just say your car breaks and you hear a squeak and you come to us, I believe God breaks cars every day so that they will actually come and see us. And when they walk in the door as an unbeliever, they're meeting Jesus. Now, this is where the ministry gets really cool. We do an assessment of a car. That's what we call it. Like if you have an appointment at 9:15, we do an assessment at 9:15. We walk around your car, we get in, we see what's going on. What the people don't realize is that we're assessing what we're seeing in the car. Because we're learning that there's a great correlation between how a person takes care of the things in their life and what's really going on in their life. So let's just say it's kind of a disaster in the car. And then you come back in and Mike will say, okay, we'll get your car in. And Mike will say, how are you? How are things going in your life? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows things aren't going well because their car is showing it.
Right.
When people come in for food at the grocery store, we can see how they take care of themselves. We can see, you know, have they dressed? Are they bathing? Are they self-grooming? Are they not? And very quickly, how are you doing? How are you really doing? You know, sit down. Let's chat for a minute. So there's the love your, like your brother concept, you know, the Good Samaritan. We're just going to love them based on what we see. Now, when we bring groceries out to your car and we walk with you, a volunteer walks out and says, how are things going in your life? More conversations happen in the parking lot because that's when people start to open up.
Right.
This is what's going on, or here's what's going on with my mother or my spouse or somebody else. Can I pray with you? And people start to cry. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many things we uncover.
Yeah.
And one of the first things we always do is when we see, and there's a lot of times tears, a hug, can I pray with you? And boy, that happens, Todd. I would tell you between all of the ministries, that is a daily occurrence.
That's awesome.
In fact, through the Gateway Healthcare, one of our measuring tools that we use is how many patients did you see today? And how many of them, because we offer 100% of the time to pray with them, how many said yes? And our average is between two-thirds and three-quarters of the people are saying, yeah, that'd be great if you prayed with me. Yeah. Think about when's the last time you went to a doctor's office and you had a provider pray with you. And that's how he starts out the visit. Like let's pray and invite Jesus to come in and be part of your healing.
Yes.
So we open up doors and we allow God to open up those doors. And it seems like organically, those doors are opening up every single day. We just sometimes have to say, how are you?
Yes.
And we already know the answer to that.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes. And then they talk to us.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You know, and I was thinking about how that gets back into the dignity. And, you know, you're treating people not as a project, but as a person. And as a church, we care about people and their spiritual well-being, their emotional well-being. And so that's a great way to connect. What is your role as a pastor in the mission work?
Okay, ask me that question in a minute. I want to tell you a story.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me a story.
So I was out in the garage. Our manager, after 8 years, had gone to somewhere else. And I stepped in. And actually, I ran the garage. I managed it for 5 months. And one of the drivers from AutoValue was come in multiple times a day. His name was Jeremiah. And one day he came in and he just looked kind of down. And I just said, Jeremiah, are you okay? And he said, no, actually, I'm not. He said, my grandpa died. And I said, well, you want to talk about it? He said, I would love to. So we just went back in the shop and grabbed a bottle of water and we just chatted for a while and prayed with him. He cried, left. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, he came back in and he said, you're the pastor of the church, right? I said, I am, Jeremiah. He said, would you baptize me? I said, Jeremiah, that would be my greatest honor to baptize you.
Awesome.
I said, when would you like to do it? He said, how about Sunday? I said, perfect. So I can't even explain to you the joy of the whole church. Mm-hmm. When Jeremiah came forth and I said to the church, I want you to meet Jeremiah. And, you know, Jeremiah's pretty rough.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, the tattoos, I mean, just looks rough, right? And yeah. And it was such a privilege and joy to say, he's a driver. He serves the people that we serve by bringing parts to us. And when I said, why do you want to be baptized? And he said, because I believe in Jesus. And it was, I think, one of the greatest moments of my ministry. Wow. Is to be able to baptize a delivery driver.
Wow.
A parts store because of the ministry that we do.
Yeah. Awesome. That is an amazing story.
That's a quote.
Yeah. Yes. So the question, what is a pastor? What do you do in the mission work? Manage a gas station, as a garage for a while. That was one of your tasks, obviously, as an ambassador. But how else would you describe your role in this ministry?
My role in this ministry is to support the people that are doing it every day. I would say my biggest role is the encourager. That I go around and encourage not only the people that are serving. I try to get to the bridge most days when it's open. That's our grocery store. And I just go around and say to all of our volunteers, you know, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the work that you are doing because you're making a difference in someone's life. I'm kind of the lead person on starting these ministries. That has right. been my role. I happen to see a need, and I'm pretty relentless that I will figure out a way to meet the need with dignity. And so I will search things out. When we were doing the grocery store, I researched for a whole year to learn everything I could learn about nutrition so that we would start the grocery store intentionally about what we had in the grocery store. You know, I was helping change the oil, you know, in those 35 moms' cars.
Right.
You know, so my role is relational. Mm-hmm. My role is to, here would be an example. I drive the truck down to Detroit about every 6 weeks for the privilege of having about 10 minutes with the workers in the warehouse. And I go down there and I built relationships over the last five years with them. And I will take an entire day out of my ministry to go spend the total of about 25 minutes with people to say, how's your family and how's your wife and how did her surgery go and how are you doing and last time you told me this and
right.
how's that going? And they feel loved and cared for by this crazy church 2 hours away.
Wow.
It's got a grocery store that's not making any money and none of them can understand us, but they've all taken a tremendous interest in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And they're serving us, but actually I get the privilege to go down there and serve them. That's my role, Todd, is I get to go and meet with, you know, the distributors and set up meetings. And here would be a quick example, like when we were opening up Gateway Healthcare, which just opened a month ago, we had over 60 face-to-face visits with physicians and hospital administrators and nurses and nurse practitioners and physicians assistants. And I had the privilege to talk to over 60 of them face to face and say, this is what we're trying to do. And it's all about Jesus. Our mission is reaching one more life with Jesus. And you get to have those conversations, open and honest conversations with them about where they are with the Lord. And that's my role, is that I get to meet with an incredible amount of people with Jesus.
Wow.
That's the greatest thing I get to do every day.
That's awesome. That's great. What would you suggest would be a first step for a church that might be interested in pursuing ministry to the Alice population, for a pastor who wants to get his church involved? What would be their first step?
Todd, I think the critical first step is you have to come here.
Yes.
You have to come to Midland. You have to come to Messiah. Mm-hmm. And here's, let me explain the why. Not show and tell, not to show you.
Right.
But I have hosted groups over the last 10 years. It used to be about every 2 to 3 weeks, I would host a group from a church or a church body, different denominations, different local churches. They would come and I would spend about an hour to an hour and a half with them and help them to understand the philosophy shift, the Alice population. Because if you don't understand all of this, nothing that we do makes any sense. When you understand the impact of what the church has and has the ability to do, it's the leadership ability that you have a chance to take volunteers and put them into real leadership opportunities that they're significantly making a difference. It's understanding what Jesus did and how Jesus did his ministry. It's understanding finances, because we look at finances very differently. And here'd be, maybe I could give you a quick example of this, and sure, don't get caught up in the numbers, but just understand the philosophy.
All right.
So our budget's about $1.3 million. However, Messiah takes 10% of that and ties to our community ministries. Mm-hmm. The community ministries are doing the equivalent of almost $1 million more of ministry because we're tithing to them. Right. Because they're not, most of them are not self-supporting. Some of them are, but not all of them. So if you think about it, we took a $1.3 million budget, invested 10% for $1 million more of ministry. So we do about, we do over $2 million of ministry.
Wow.
At the cost of $1.3 million of offerings. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of philosophy that you have to understand. If your budget is $80,000,
right,
if that's what your income is a church, what we do is we walk through how can you take a tithe of that $8,000 and strategically use it for gas cards. And remember, I told you that, you know, you're charging $10 for the gas cards. And so you're actually increasing your fold of ministry.
Right.
And then you take $1,000 of your $8,000 out of an $80,000 budget and you do 40 gas cards, you're going to have the equivalent of meeting with about 55 new people that you didn't have the opportunity to do.
Yes.
For $1,000 investment, you now get to have a conversation of how are you? How are things going in your life? Obviously, if you're here for a gas card, something's going on in your life. What's going on?
Yeah.
So for $1,000, you get to actually reach into 55 people's lives. See, that's the power of taking a little, investing it for a greater return. So back to what's the first step? You've got to come here and understand the things that we have learned over these last 14 years. And so that when you go home, you don't go, well, we can't do what they are doing right now. No, when you walk away, you're like, hey, how can we take $1,000? Do you think we could raise $1,000, change lives? And I can tell you firsthand, because we did, our first investment for automotive, we gave a gift of $500 to help change the oil in 35 single moms' cars. And that has now resulted in over $1 million of value of cars donated to us so that we can repurpose it. So don't ever underestimate the power of God and what God is able to do to take a $500 investment and turn it into an incredible ministry.
Yes.
And I will tell you, for any, and this is why people need to come here, that when I got here, we were over $5 million in debt. So we had $0 to work with.
Yes.
So I don't want anybody thinking, oh, well, you're a church that's a little larger. You got all the money to do this. No, we didn't have a dollar. We started more ministries because the board said to me, you can start the ministry, but you can't have $1 from the church because we don't have it. And I said, okay, that's a great dare. that's a great dream.
Yes.
I prayed to God, and our whole grocery store started without a dollar to our name. And now we just recently purchased $1 million building that we're asking the community to help us pay for, which they're signing up to help us do it. And it started with not a nickel towards ministry. So anything is possible, Todd.
Amen.
Anything is possible. So you've got to come here, understand the philosophies, understand the how, the why, the what, the where, the when, how it all works. Then we take you on a field trip to show you, here's how it's in practice. And what we've noticed along the way is that that generates an unbelievable amount of discussion for the trip home as they start coming up with their game plans of what they want to start with and how they might want to try it. So I would love to have as many people as possible come up. Again, not show and tell, but understand what we've learned. Walk away with the learning so that you don't have to learn it on your own. Now you can start ahead of the game and you've already got something to work with.
Awesome. Yeah, so the district has partnered with Ed and Messiah to put together a special event, gathering of people who are interested in learning more. It's not just a show and tell by any means. It's going to be a training event. And as Ed said, the outcome, the desired outcome, is that you would go back home with a plan of action, how you will begin to connect with the Alice community. There are grants that are available from the district, a Start New Explorer grant that can help fund that activity. But we want also your congregation to be involved, but to begin to, as a catalyst event, to begin to connect with the Alice population. And that event is scheduled for September 8th. It's a Thursday. It's an all-day event, and it's going to be at Messiah in Midland. You'll get more information, or you can request more information by emailing me, or you'll see it in the e-news. But we're looking forward to that event as an opportunity for you to see firsthand and discover how God is calling you to do mission to this population. Ed, I want to thank you for not only your time here with the podcast, but also being willing to put on that event and being willing to visit, to mentor, to coach people through this new mission endeavor. I am praying that God will use this mission endeavor to change the paradigm, to extend what we do in mission so that we're doing mission in a way that is healthy, a way that affirms our identity in Christ, so it affirms that dignity that we have being created in the image of God, and in that way helps create healthy community. So thank you very much for your time, Ed.
Thanks, Todd. It's been great to be with you today.
Well, thank you, Todd, and thank you, Ed, for making this ministry so successful. We also want to thank you, the listener, for checking out our innovative missional ministry podcast. God bless.